Saxons.
Are you eating a cosmic brownie?
It's not the cosmic brownie. It's the one that has, like, peanuts on it.
Oh, okay. I was going to say the well, I guess they're both the same thing, right? Just one is the fake M&Ms and the other one is peanuts. They get, like, worse tasting the older you get. But when you're younger, they were everything.
Yeah, like, this is max one. If you eat two of these, you're throwing up. Yeah. I can guarantee it.
Now, there's a lot of, like, those snack cakes I do like the strawberry shortcake. I like zebra cake still. But, like, oatmeal cream pies, obviously.
Yeah.
But there are those a lot are of them. Yeah, there's a lot of them that taste terrible.
Yeah, like Star Crunches. Those are just... Ugh. Just thinking about them just makes me want to puke.
I follow this thing on TikTok called Will It Air Fry, and he did an oatmeal cream pie. He said, you guys got to try this. This is amazing. I never thought to air fry, like, a snack cake.
Yeah, that's, I don't know, I feel like you gotta freeze it first, so that way it doesn't, like, completely disintegrate.
Yeah, especially the cream. I'm gonna get a milkshake. What's going on, guys? Your boy Elroy here, and welcome back to the Your Boy Elroy MMA Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Prepigina, and I'm here with my good buddy, Andre Rodriguez. Andre, what's going on?
What's going on, Prep?
Not much, let's be honest. It's a slow news week, Andre. But you know the way we battle that? We talk about ourselves. Andre, how have you been, brother?
I've been good, man. Just been busy, and I like it. And just been having a good time with life, man. Feel great. Good.
That's a no offense far cry from answers that you gave us before. So I'm glad to finally hear that, Andre.
Yep.
What have you been, like, taking up your time with nowadays?
You know, I've just been trying to read the Bible more. Really been pushing myself to, like, get better, like, with the whole streaming thing. Finding new ways to improve, like, you know, I guess my profile. And, yeah, just pushing forward, working again. Yeah, just doing my thing, man.
That is awesome. How has, like, so as a streamer, is there some, like, do you have to make, like, an attempt at practicing the game?
Big time. I mean, when you play stuff like Battle Royales, it's rough because you're going to have, like, opportunities to, like, win games and do really well. And then sometimes you're in lobbies with players who have been playing for, like, all six seasons and are level 500 Apex Predators, and they're monsters, like, at the game. Like, they can trick shot you from 100 miles out, and you just can't let that get to your head. And, like, what I do before I play or before I stream at all, I hit the firing range, which is, like, the training facility, and I just practice my shooting, jump sliding, doing my ultimate abilities, tacticals, and I just try my best to just get better at the game because, you know, if you're not trying to push forward, you're just going to fall behind. So that's the way I see it. If I want to catch up to these guys, I just got to keep putting in the time, so... But it's fun, though, man.
That's what's up, yeah. So, for me, I've been taking up my time trying to figure out myself, basically. So, I love what I do, but I always wanted to, like, open my own business. So, like, right now, my side hustle I have in mind to, like, open a little online store. So... what that online store will consist of, you'll just have to wait and see. But just know that there is a lot of work being done behind the scenes to make it a reality. I think that this is something that will actually cater to our community And I'm looking forward to when that online store is open. I'm looking forward to see how everybody reacts to it. I think it's a good thing for our podcast to basically market ourselves as well. So it will play into this show as much as anything else. I cannot wait.
Yeah,
Andre,
that's so awesome, dude.
yeah, Andre, you got a sneak peek of this on Instagram the other day, but it continues to happen. We all know what this bag is. So, Andre, let's get a live reaction. This is my second and third UFC Series 1 figures. I bought these at Walmart for retail. I ran into every figure so far but one. And like I said before, I am buying them nice and slow. So, right here, Andre, as you can see, we have the veteran Donald Cerrone with the
Nice.
soft goods American flag in the background, as well as the cowboy hat. This is the non-chase variant version with the gray shorts. There is a blue shorts version as well. And then, maybe the most dominant champion in UFC history,
Khabib.
Khabib Nurmagomedov. Now, here's my issue, Andre. We talked about this, that I will be leaving these in the box. Big problem. The Khabib face that's on here is not very good.
Yeah.
But this Khabib face is fantastic. So, do I bust these, bust it open and switch it out? Or do I just eat it, get another set, get another Khabib and just open them so that I could have the other version? We will see. This is the second and the third figure so far. I am still very happy with them. I'm just noticing, I'm looking at the box, I'm just noticing they didn't do a very good job cutting this right here. So I don't know if you see, it's like weirdly
Oh,
long,
yeah.
like it's not cut close enough. But this also has a Russian flag, which is awesome. Obviously, it comes with the belt.
That's awesome. That looks really good.
I think this belt will fit him. So I'm excited for these, man. Once again, like UFC figures, be on the lookout at your local Walmarts for. And pick them up. I'm going to say it again. Series 1 consists of DC, Donald Cerrone, John Jones, Max Holloway, Conor McGregor, and Khabib. So the only ones I need are the last three. I just said Conor, Max, and John Jones. So those will come very soon. I have yet to see Conor McGregor in stores. So I don't know if that means that it's selling good. I don't know if it's short packed, which means that not as many are going out as the rest of them. But the one I'm seeing a lot of is Max and John. There's like those are everywhere. I don't think that says anything about them specifically, but we'll see in the next coming weeks, like I said. Andre, let's talk about some news, man. Because there's a little bit of news, but there are some fun things that happened this week that I am looking forward to getting your thoughts on. So I sent you a message like a few days ago on Instagram that Ariel Helwani was sent a video from Nick Diaz's manager. Nick Diaz did a test cut. He looks in fantastic shape, Andre, and he is looking to make a comeback. So, Andre, be honest with me. Is this a good idea? Is this something that you even want to see?
Yeah, I miss Nick Diaz, man. Like, I was just watching one of the highlights that the UFC put on Facebook, and it was like Strikeforce. That was literally just, the title of it, and it was mostly of Nick Diaz. Nick Diaz versus Paul Daly, the Diaz brothers beating up Jason Mayhem Miller when he called out Jake Shields for a rematch. I mean, but I miss that Diaz like flair, you know? Nate didn't really have that, but Nick is different because Nick is like, dude, I'll fight anybody. Like, I'm not even like, he's about money fights now, but I don't know, man. I've always been a fan of him, and he was one of the first guys to basically like, you know, hold out on the whole Gracie Jiu-Jitsu scene while everybody else was like, you know, trying to figure out wrestlers and stuff, and he was still just doing his thing, and it was awesome. But yeah, I think that it would be like great to see him back in the octagon. But the question is, are they gonna make Masvidal Diaz 2 or Masvidal Nick Diaz 1? That's the thing that I think everybody's like wondering. And that's definitely the question that's looming, because I don't know if I see any other fight that makes sense for him right now in the welterweight division. Maybe a Robbie Lawler rematch, but with given like the situation that happened not too long ago, you know, Robbie being destroyed by Neil Magny, I'm not sure if that will be as enticing for either guy. So, yeah, I only see like a big fight announcement coming up. That's about it, though. So we'll see. But either way, if he fights, I'm definitely tuning in.
Yeah, he's a Diaz brother, so you know we gotta watch it. It is very interesting to me. Like, is he gonna make an appearance like in the corner of his brother? That'll be pretty cool. I do think that we will get the Nate Masvidal matchup before we get Nick. I just don't even know where to slot Nick, but I don't think it matters. Wherever he goes, he's gonna draw a house. So I'm looking forward to that. Andre, another thing. This was breaking news a few hours ago. The fight that we all wanted to see, Dustin Poirier versus Tony Ferguson, apparently is not happening. Dustin Poirier saying that he just couldn't agree to terms with the UFC. It sounds like a money issue. So, with that being said, Andre, how do you feel about that? Because Dustin Poirier, obviously, his last fight was for a title. He got dominated pretty well. And I guess just stemming from that, you know, maybe his pay is going to go down now. So, do you think this is like a bad thing? I know you're bummed about not seeing the fight, but like, what are your thoughts? Because, you know, obviously, if he couldn't come to terms, UFC wasn't willing to break the bank for him to fight Tony.
Yeah, it's tough because with the light heavyweight, I mean the lightweight division being so stacked, it's really hard to stand out. But, you know, given Dustin's last performance against Dan Hooker, it makes sense that he believes that he's, you know, deserving of more money. But at the same time, you know, you want to stay active because the title shot's not going to come. You had already lost to Khabib, and he's going to have to fight somebody credible enough to earn another shot. I don't think he just gets a rematch right out the gate because, you know, we still have to see what Justin's going to do. So, yeah, I think that in this case, you kind of have to take the money because if not, you're just not going to be fighting. And everybody else is, and you know how the lightweight division is. One good performance puts you right in the mix, you know? So, to me, it sucks that the fight won't happen, but there's plenty of other fights that could happen. You know, we still have maybe Paul Felder versus Tony, maybe Dan Hooker versus Tony. I mean, there's a lot of big deal fights there. So if Dustin doesn't want a piece of that pie, then you know, I guess he's just gonna have to wait to see what happens. But what makes sense to me is him fighting Tony. It's the only fight that makes sense. And besides, that was a fan favorite fight from the beginning. Ever since Dustin broke into the top five, people wanted to see that. One being myself, so. Hopefully it does, you know, get made. If not, then hey, you know, I'm always tuning in for a Tony fight because I love the guy. He's awesome. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I hope they figure it out. And I think that will be his next fight, just not right now. So we'll see what goes on with them. Andre, another interesting figure. Dude, this guy gets so much publicity on this podcast. Hazmat Shemaev, Andre, he got double booked. Dana White saying that, you know, of course they usually don't do this because they've never seen somebody like this kid. So at first, next week he will be facing Gerald Meerschaert. And then he will be going down to 170 next month to face Damian Maia. Andre, this is crazy. What do you think?
I don't know, man, but are we going to, for the first time, see an active fighter be ranked in two divisions rightfully? Because I think we will. Listen, Gerald Meerschaert is a good grappler and a good Muay Thai striker. This guy's got his hands full. Listen, Jared is no joke, man. This guy is the real deal out of Rufus Sport. I believe he's a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I believe his last victory was against Deron Wynn. And,
he beat the crap out of DeWine.
But it was, and why? Because of that size. The size difference was a big factor in that fight. And, you know, Gerald is just, I know what he's going to do. He's going to fight from distance, and he's going to have to really, you know, keep distance management a very important role in the fight. And we'll see, but damn, double booked, man. That's a lot of faith in one guy. I can honestly say that if he wins both these fights back-to-back, this dude is like Khabib 3.0. Because have you ever seen anybody double booked like that?
Nope. And I don't even know if we will see anybody like this.
Nope.
I will say one thing, because it's true that nobody gives this guy, Gerald Meerschaert, a shot, because obviously Hazmat is the hype train right now. But if you have any time tomorrow, put on Ariel's MMA show from Wednesday, from yesterday. He interviewed Gerald Meerschaert, and Gerald Meerschaert will make you want to run through a wall. He will pump you up so much for this fight, you would think that it was the main event.
I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, so that's Hazmat Shemaev, someone who the pandemic has been fantastic to him. Let's just say it like that.
Talk about huge opportunities and seizing them. I mean, this guy just came out of nowhere. But you know what? I'm always excited to see him fight, because forget the mauling for a second. I mean, the guy came into his first fight, 185, made weight, goes in, just dominates his opponent. Next fight goes in, dominates a young prospect who was actually very talented. Like, it was nothing. Not one strike he threw in the first exchange. Just picked him up, slammed him, called it a day. I mean, it's insane, but I can't even tell you that this kid's not going to be a champion, because I'm almost certain he's going to beat somebody for a title. Like, probably by next year. So, yeah. Moving on.
Yeah, so from a fantastic upstart to a wily vet, Randy Couture, we want to wish him the best. Him and his wife, I believe, had a very bad ATV accident. There are very serious injuries, and he will need to go under the knife. So all our thoughts and prayers are with him and his family during this time. Andre, on a happier note, happy birthday to Donald Cerrone's new son. Donald Cerrone just had another kid, Riot River Cerrone. What a name.
Oh, man.
Yeah, congratulations to him.
Congrats.
I think we will see him coming up pretty soon, too, in the next few months. So I'm looking forward to that. Andre, let's talk about the Contender Series, because I wrote to you and Zeus last night, and I said, did anybody just see that? Oh, my God.
Dude, I saw it after, like, I think yesterday. Oh, wow. Like, the head kick was nasty. And that dude who landed that overhand right, that was another good knockout. I mean, great performances, man.
Dude, the Contender Series how happy are you that you came back to it this year? Because this might be the best series yet, like the best season.
Yeah, there were some killers, man. That, like, this year, I was surprised because I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm going to give it another shot because, you know, Pfeiffer's going to be on it. But, like, Adrian, Yanez, guys like that are just the killers, man. And you know they're going to do well in the UFC. So it's great to see that the Contender Series is finally thriving. And, yeah, like, I think it's just the perfect platform for new fighters to come in and prove themselves to be, like, UFC material. I mean, what better way than to actually fight somebody who's at your caliber or better and just truly show what you got, you know? But, yeah, like, Dana's been really generous lately.
Yeah, I don't know if he's just trying to, like, roll the roster over. Like, maybe some of these, you know, prospects from before, you know, he wants to, you know, kind of move out and let them fight elsewhere to kind of get their name value up once again and bring these, like, these really talented youngsters in and give them a shot. But I love it, dude. I'm kind of sad next week is our last week of it, at least till November. So here's the news coming out of the Contender Series. Next week it wraps up. Obviously, we're going back to Fight Island. When we come back from Fight Island, they're going to start to film a new Ultimate Fighter. No coaches in mind yet. They're working all them details out this week. And then in November, they will have another run of the Contender Series. So I cannot wait. You know, we've been strangely busy during the pandemic. It looks like it's going to pick up even more now, Andre.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. It's going to be great. Ultimate Fighter is going to – I know that's going to pop. So it's going to be great, man.
What makes you think that the Ultimate Fighter has a chance in this climate? Because I feel like this is the strangest time to kind of throw an Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah, you know what it is? Like, for me, like, the jitters of, like, not really having a lot of people, like, in there, that's not even going to be a thing anymore, you know? And – the crazy thing, too, is, like, even though the Ultimate Fighter setting is going to be the same as before, with the little tweaks here and there, obviously with, like, people living together, but I honestly believe, like, the people that are going to be there are really going to show out. I feel like we're going to get a lot of finishes because the opportunities that have been given to fighters recently in the UFC have been way better than they ever have. Like, there were fighters who probably got a shot in the UFC and lost like three in a row and took like 6 years to get back there, you know? And now it's like with a couple good performances and a shot on the Contender Series, you're right in the mix the next month getting a fight with like a credible opponent. So I think like these new fighters coming in are going to see it as an opportunity to really boost their like career going like, and get their career going with, you know, the Ultimate Fighter. I mean, it's a good platform. I know it's not as good as the Contender Series now, but I'm just excited to see it back. I know that there was a lot of other seasons that really flopped for me. But who knows? I mean, whatever divisions they put in there, which I really do believe is going to be with them, like women's featherweight and probably like heavyweight, I think it's just going to be good, man. And I hope that it is maybe heavyweight, because we're going to see some bangers there, like real hard-hitting guys, and that's going to be good.
I think you got the right idea there, Andre. Speaking of heavyweight, UFC this past weekend, we had a heavyweight main event, Alistair Overeem versus Augusto Sakai. Overeem finishing Sakai in that fifth round. Andre, the more and more I watch Alistair Overeem fight, the more and more I figure maybe John Jones is, like, a good opponent for Alistair Overeem to kind of welcome John Jones into the heavyweight division, huh?
Mm-hmm. And not only that, but I told you. Overeem's ground and pound is dangerous, man. I mean, listen, I got to give Augusto Sakai a lot of respect because those last few strikes that he took would have put any other human being on this earth cold. But this guy showed a lot of toughness in that fight. He was tired and still going forward. But Alistair Overeem, not for nothing, but he said it. Like, I have a lot more experience than all these guys, and I know what to do to win. And if you think about it, people who can't finish him off the bat usually can't beat him. And if you look at his career as a whole, like, guys who really beat him are mostly knockout artists, people who caught him and, like, put him to sleep. But, yeah, like, if you just don't have the stamina and he gets on top of you and starts landing shots, it's going to be a rough night for you, especially if you let him get into the clinch. And that's literally what happened with Sakai. He just, you know, he got a little too complacent, and his exchanges were too, like, risky. You know, like, he was literally walking towards him like this, throwing kicks, and Alistair sees that stuff coming. So overall, it was an excellent performance, and yeah, John Jones versus Overeem, I think, would be very good. I feel like that has to be probably on, like, one of the bigger pay-per-views, like 255 or 256. That would be great, man, to see that.
Yeah, I don't know how soon we would see it, because I think, if I think about it, John Jones is going to try to put on 20 pounds of muscle, right?
Yeah.
So I see him coming in around 230, 232. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, we probably won't see him till like January or February.
Yeah, and that's smart, because a lot of people will be like, oh, well, the muscle will probably slow him down. But it won't. I think that he needs the muscle, because he's going to be taking shots from guys that hit really, really hard and are really strong. Every heavyweight is strong. Every heavyweight can knock you out with one punch. So he really does have to prepare his body for that. And that means he's going to have to bring in some pretty, pretty big, like, sparring partners to prepare. You know, like, Dana, I believe, did say he'll get an immediate title shot, but I really don't believe that. I feel like he really needs, like, a nice tune-up. Well, not tune-up fight, because, you know, I wouldn't say anybody in the heavyweight division tops, you know, like the top 10 is a, you know, like a tune-up fight. But he needs to fight somebody credible before he can be given a shot at Stipe, because Stipe is not going to be an easy night for him. I mean, Stipe is good everywhere. His boxing is way better than I think anybody's boxing that John ever fought. So, you know, there's a lot at stake there. But either way, I love to see it, man. Like, the guy reigned in the light heavyweight division for a long time, and it's a new chapter for him, so.
Yeah, he, something that DC brought up is he doesn't get enough credit that his chin is so good. Like, he's taken some shots and just kind of walked through them. So I think that we need to give John Jones a little more credit.
Yeah, you're right. That's true. I mean, he's fought some of the biggest power punchers in the heavyweight history and never been finished. He's never even been dropped. That's a pretty crazy feat, you know. The matter is Max. So I guess they're kind of on the same level. I mean, Max has never been dropped. Never been nothing. Like, literally, it's crazy. But that's like God-given talent right there, because when you see dudes who just don't get dropped after big shots, you're like, yo, he has to be bionic or something. Kindly, it kind of brings you back to, like, a James Cross versus. That's fine.
Technical difficulties are always fun.
Yeah.
Andre, where did we leave off?
I think we were talking about good chins.
Oh, yes, John Jones. Very good chin. So, and Alistair Overeem is a very good first opponent for him at heavyweight. And John Jones is the original MMA legend killer. So, Alistair Overeem, like, that's a good story there.
Mm-hmm.
Just real quick, the rest of the card saw OSP defeating Alonzo Menafield by TKO. Mm-hmm. We saw Michelle Pajeda finishing Zalim Imadaev by submission in the third round. Andre Munoz getting a submission win. Brian Kelleher as well. Vivian Araújo getting the decision win, and Hunter Azor getting the decision win over Cole Smith. So that was UFC Fight Night. This week, we actually have three cards, Andre. Two Bellator cards. You know they always do that doubleheader here and there. So first off, we have Phil Davis versus Machida 2. I don't know what to expect. You know, Machida's kind of old. Phil Davis, I believe, won the first fight. We also have Kat Zingano's debut for Bellator. Ed Roof is on this card. Raymond Daniels is on this card. Who else? Rafael Calvillo. Tyrell Fortune. And Keith Lee. No, not the wrestler. Oh, wow. Buried in the undercard, Leslie Smith.
Okay.
Then cool. Saturday, we have a fire main event with Juan Archuleta versus Patchy Mix for the vacant bantamweight title. We have John Fitch versus Neiman Gracie. Liz Carmouche's debut for Bellator. And then we have Derek Campos versus Keone Diggs in the prelims. Let's see, is there anybody in the prelims that we need to watch? Absolutely not. Only watch the main event, let's be honest. No disrespect to Bellator, you know. We respect all mixed martial artists, Andre, but let's be real. We have lives, too.
Yep.
Then, looking at this UFC card, it's actually not that bad after losing their main event in Glover Teixeira versus Thiago Santos. The main event is now Angela Hill versus Michelle Waterson. Andre, let's talk about this real quick because UFC is making history here. Angela Hill herself is making history. She is the first African-American woman to headline a UFC card. She is also the first woman in UFC history with back-to-back four-fight years. So this is her fourth fight this year, second year in a row. Congratulations to Angela Hill. She will be facing Michelle Waterson. Andre, what do you want to see in this fight? Because I am a big fan of Angela Hill. I know her record doesn't say it, but she is very, very good. And we've also kind of seen her whole, like, mixed martial arts career unfold in front of our eyes. I believe that in that episode, in that season of The Ultimate Fighter, was she like 2-0 or 3-0, something like that? She's 12-8 now.
Yeah, I mean, she was real early in her career. She came out as a Muay Thai striker into MMA, burst onto the scene kind of in The Ultimate Fighter, and she was given no easy opportunities. I mean, she fought Carla Esparza, for crying out loud. I believe that was her first fight. And listen, she is now a more well-seasoned mixed martial artist. We saw in her last performance, which a lot of people did believe she won, she faced the number 6 in the world, Claudia Gadelha, and she really gave it to her. I mean, she put on an excellent performance. You know, she showed really good skill in there, not just the striking, but overall good footwork, good awareness, and she was just going in there to win that fight. So that's the kind of mentality she has to bring against Waterson, because Waterson is obviously, you know, higher ranked than her, I believe, and she's also, you know, a really, really, really elite fighter. Michelle's good everywhere, so Angela Hill's just gonna have to she's just gonna have to capitalize, and I believe that's gonna happen if she just, you know, pushes the pace on Waterson, keeps her on her back foot, and puts a lot of volume striking together to get a victory. And if she can do that, she puts herself right in the mix to, you know, get a bigger fight in that division. So that's what I'm looking to see.
Yeah, I really like Angela Hill. She just doesn't stop. She just keeps moving forward. Her striking is so crisp. And Michelle Waterson, you know, she is very experienced. I think she's a bit past her prime, but that's besides the point. She is still game. So that should be a good fight. Let's start at the beginning of the night. We have Sabina Mazo versus Justine Kish. Then we have Brian Barberina versus Anthony Ivey. Brock Weaver versus Jalen Turner. Roosevelt Roberts versus Matt Frivola. I do like Roosevelt Roberts. Then in the women's bantamweight division, we have Julia Avila versus Sajar Eubanks. Julia, let's go. I'm excited for her. We have Matt Schnell versus Tyson Nam. Then moving on to the main. This is a bigger card than last week. Last week was like 6 fights.
Yeah.
This week is like 24. Then we have the main card. We have Billy Quarantillo versus Kyle Nelson. Bobby Green versus Alan Patrick. If I'm correct, I believe this is like Bobby Green's 3rd fight in the last like 3 months, I feel like.
Crazy.
Ed Herman finally getting to fight versus Mike Rodriguez. Ed Herman has had like 4 cancellations as well, which is crazy. Roxanne Modafferi versus Andrea Lee. And then in the co-main event, my boy, Kama Worthy versus Otman Azatar. So, Kama Worthy having a fantastic headline here on MMA Fighting. Kama Worthy explains, risky fighting style. I'm not a DJ. I don't give a blank about records. What a fantastic headline. That's what I want to see for my MMA fighters. Yep. He is so game. He is so much fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
I think that dude that he had his UFC debut with still hasn't come back from that fight. Devontae Smith.
He literally hasn't fought since then. It's crazy.
And like, that was in August. It's been over a year already.
Yeah, I think he took that loss like really hard. Or maybe he's had some injuries, but like, this is the perfect time to book a fight. And the kid's not bad. This kid's actually really skilled.
He's 10-2.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? His first 2 fights in the UFC, you know, first round finishes. So, and then he gets finished. Like, if I was him, like, I get it. You know, GSP talked about it before. We're having to go to a sports psychologist. I'm not sure if that's what it is, but I would like to see him fight again. He was a very, like you said, very fun to watch, very skilled. So we will see. Andre, is there anything else you have that you would like to cover before we get out of here?
No, I think that was a solid episode. I think we touched on everything, which is good.
Yeah, technical difficulties aside. The last thing I do want to bring up, this is breaking news. Bellator confirms that next month, October, they will be heading to France and having the first sanctioned MMA fights in France. Andre, how big is this for MMA? And unfortunately for the UFC, you know, they kind of lose out in being the first, but I believe that happened with New York as well. But are you excited to see fights in France?
No.
Because it doesn't matter right now, right, Andre? Why would you spend all that money to go to France if, like, you can't have people there? So just stay right here and, you know, the crappy casino you're running in Erie, Pennsylvania. You know what I mean?
It gets me because it's like, all right, you can go to France. Like, that's pretty cool. But you don't even have enough good fighters to, like, hold down a solid card there. That's my thing. It's like, if the UFC would have done it, you know they would have done it big. You know what I mean? And Ngannou would have been on the card. Like, some heavy dudes would have been on that card. But, yeah. I'm like, it was, you know, like, that doubleheaders they had in Ireland, like, every freaking weekend for Bellator. Like, that killed it for me. I thought that was so weird, but, yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I probably will be tuning in, not gonna lie.
Yeah, so, Andre, right before we leave, I want you to give me your one fight for the week. Like, what are you looking forward to seeing the most?
Well, for this week, not much. I guess I could say what I'm really just, like, really waiting for is Adesanya versus Costa. So everything else is kind of like, whatever.
Yeah, that's obviously a big fight for this podcast. Everybody knows how we feel about them. My fight to watch this week is Julia Avila versus Sajara Eubanks. That is hidden on the prelims card. I wish it was on the main card because that fight is going to be a banger. And obviously the main event from Bellator, Juan Archuleta versus Patchy Mix. Check that out Saturday. I'd probably watch that over most of the UFC card. If I could just see one fight or two fights, it'd be those two. So that has been this week's Your Boy Elroy. I am Josh Prepigina. You can find me on all forms of social media. Elroy Prepsin, one word. Andre?
Everyone, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter as my name. Oh, and Twitch. Slow stage, right? And you can also find me on Facebook as my regular name, Andre Rodriguez. And thank you all for tuning in for another great episode.
Yeah, Andre has been saying that since the beginning. Don't add him on Facebook. That's weird. If it's your birthday, happy birthday. Enjoy the fights this weekend, and we'll see you next week.